Blog Talk Radio.
There is no earthly way of knowing.
Good man, a lot of time.
Which direction we are going?
Narek El Camino. It would have been DWI.
We have reached a tipping point.
Welcome once again to Tipping Point. I am neither Stephen Platinum, nor Larry Goodman, nor Miss Rachel. I am the bullpen. I'm the guy that gets tapped in when they need somebody to close out the eighth, stop a rally. I am Matt Hankins, but I'm not alone because I am joined by my hetero life mate, my constant, my rock, Johnny Danger.
You know, I really appreciate that introduction as one half of the very best-looking color commentary team in Georgia wrestling.
Right there. There it is. So, yeah, guess what? You got us tonight. I don't care. We're doing what we always do, cleaning up Stephen Platinum's mess. This is what we do. Something needs to be done, call Matt and Johnny. No, Steve will be joining us here in just a bit. He has some, I'm not going to speculate on what he does in his Orlando fortress down there. I'm sure he's being mean to somebody on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, any of the other number things that people get mad at him for. But he will be joining us a little later on in the program when we are slated to play the first ever that I know about, Georgia Wrestling Jeopardy. Not sure who the contestants are for that. As most things, I'm sure I'll get roped into doing it. But we'll see. We'll see where we get after that. But for a little while, you were just taken into the docile tones of Matt Hankins and Johnny Danger. So it's going to be quiet storm. We're going to be playing a lot of R&B smooth hits for you tonight, something for you to get real tight with the ladies too, and just hanging out. Johnny Danger, what's up?
Not too much. I'm actually watching WrestleMania 12 right now because you know me, I'm a glutton for punishment.
You really? Just getting the best use out of the network. I don't know. With you, you're probably watching a VHS.
No, I am actually on the network on my PlayStation 3.
You know, that's I don't watch it nearly enough, any of it. I just don't watch any of it enough. I certainly should, given what Raw has been reduced to over the past little while. Let's talk about that. Do you think that you get your value out of the WWE Network?
I think it's up to you to get it out of there. I mean, of course, it pays for itself if you want to watch any of the current pay-per-views. But if you're a student of the game, like I at least claim to be, it's always fun to go back and study, to watch, to research. That's where I get a lot out of it is, you know, to help my own career. I go back and look at the people that inspired me, watch the matches from my childhood. If you're into that, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, and that's a game that I do like to play is, have I been on the show with this guy? I play that game a lot. I'm like, ooh, especially when people are over who kind of know that, you know, hey, you do something with wrestling, right? You know, and they're, well, do you know this guy? I'm like, yeah. You see those other five guys? Yeah, I know them too. So look how fancy I am. I'm a fancy lad. but you mentioned, you know, kind of going back and looking at some of the guys you grew up loving. And, you know, I know you love the madness. You know, I know we're virtually the same age. So, I mean, there's a lot of guys that I'm sure that we have in common. But I want to know who's the guy that you really dig that people may not think that when they see you?
You know, I'll tell you, as far as inspiration in the ring for my single stuff, I really look to Jake the Snake Roberts. And hell, that bleeds over into my tag team work too. But with the Dangerous City Demons, we've been watching a lot of Demolition lately. Obviously, those guys are a lot bigger than us, but we're trying to bring that intensity and that brutality into what we do.
You know, I'm ready to finally stop hearing that every time somebody mentions Demolition, I have to hear that they're a knockoff of the Road Warriors. I don't care about how they were formed. I don't care about why they were formed. I don't care about I just care about what happened after the fact. And what happened after the fact is they were two really good wrestlers who really worked that thing really well.
Exactly.
And you talk about getting it. That might have been like the golden era of tag team wrestling, too.
Oh, it was.
That time period was just amazing. And I certainly didn't know it then because I was a child. and I just wanted to see Strikeforce win everything. That's what I wanted. I really did think the Killer Bees were championship material. But, you know, looking back on it now with a bit more of a critical eye, you had the Brainbusters there who were just sort of an afterthought once everything shook out. But that feud they had with Demolition was absolutely amazing.
Oh, definitely. The 2 out of 3 falls match, of course, sticks out. And you mentioned the Road Warriors. Everybody brings up that comparison. The Road Warriors, no disrespect at all. They may be the greatest tag team of all time, but they were two guys put together to kill their opponents. They gave no quarter. Demolition, they had good matches.
Yeah. God, there was a sequence.
They were
going to
kick your ass, but you'd get a good match out of
it. Oh, yeah. There was a sequence in one Shane Marks and I watched not long ago, and we were both just in the floor with, like, how did they manage to do that? And that happened at such an integral part of the match. It was a very simple thing that they did. It was just like the hot tag was basically just headbutts.
Yep.
The hot tag is headbutts. What are you to do with that? Why are we not still doing that?
Exactly. And you know me, I'm definitely a less is more kind of guy. I want to get optimum mileage out of everything that I do. Why are we out there killing ourselves when this stuff has worked for 30 years?
Yeah. And it's something, you know, as most people probably think, yes, Johnny Danger and I do spend a lot of time together outside of wrestling, as well as when we're working our shows in Porterdale and wherever else it might be. And we were doing the same such this past Saturday for his lovely wife's birthday celebration. And we didn't get into this because a drunken Chinaman, some kind of Ching Chong, was ready to attack us. So
we
did not
get City.
Into He almost did, and I was ready to go with him. but one thing that we were about to start talking about was the inexplicable breakup of Mr. Fuji and that tag team.
Yes.
Just how he just, I'm going to the Powers of Pain now. And that kind of gets me to something that happened last night on the WWE. And I don't want to spend everything talking about the WWE, but that's a pretty easy ground to jump in for two guys who just got notified they were doing the show a little while ago. But have you seen this whole Lana and Rusev business?
I've been following it. Sounds to me like TMZ completely screwed up WWE's plans, and they're doing damage control at this point. Is that about right?
That's about right. So Lana and Rusev are a real-life couple. And they got real-life engaged, but it just so happened that Rusev is involved in an engagement storyline on TV with someone else. And so last night they just abruptly sort of ended it by saying, hey, I saw on the internet you got engaged, I'm angry with you. And that's the end of it. I guess my question is, how should they have handled it? Because I think they handled it wrong, or I think they could have handled it better, I guess I should say. But honestly, what do you do in those situations? And it's not the first time it's happened. Certainly with Duggan and the Sheik getting caught riding together and, you know, Sabu and RVD getting caught riding together. But this thing felt like it was something else. Because, I mean, getting from town to town, you get there how you get there, but you don't have to post a picture of your real-life engagement when you know that both of you work at the same place.
Right, and this is probably where I'm an old-school guy, and this is a great question. I'm glad you brought it up. Social media can be a great tool. It lets us promote our shows for free. It lets us interact with our fans, which I love. I love my fans. But it also gives us an open mic to say and do some really dumb shit. And you mentioned some older stuff.
Let's do
it. What's that?
It allows it. It facilitates it so well.
It does, and most of us can't resist that temptation. We've all seen it. We've all got those guys on our friends list. And you mentioned, like, the Hacksaw and Iron Sheik situation, it kind of reminds me of the Edge Matt Hardy Lita situation, which they made into a real life thing also.
And got some mileage out of it, though.
Those were
not
guys
as much
that
as maybe
been
they
around.
Could have, but got something out of it. Whereas last night it was just, it felt to me, and again, just speculation based on what I saw. You know, you have Rusev go out there and he loses to Ryback very quickly, and then you have this thing where his angle just gets dropped very abruptly. This is a guy that was, you know, arguably in the best thing on WrestleMania last year. His entrance is one of the more memorable moments from that show.
That's true.
This is where he was, and man, that's a rough one. That's a killer. But and so many times, you know, you have trouble with your girlfriend, and you just get it gets you messed up. Drew McIntyre.
Hello, Seth Rollins' girl
man.
Who got let go recently.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But
who knew that being a Nazi was going to be taken badly by a massive corporation who's focused on entertaining kids?
Oh, brother.
Looks like somebody wants to talk with us. I'm going to just take a shot in the dark and see what happens.
Let's go.
Welcome to Tipping Point. Who it is? It's a robot monster, Johnny. We've been infiltrated by robot monsters.
I'm hiding behind you, man.
I'm getting them off. We're cool. We're cool. We got away. It's that time of year. There, behind every corner lurks a robot monster, and that one almost got us. So I guess, you know, shoot, we never – I don't – you've done these things before, but not recently. A lot's changed in the career of Johnny Danger over the last couple years.
It has.
How did it feel? And be honest with me, you know, how did it feel? Sacred Ground Chapter 6, you and Devlin get your mitts on that trophy after going through so much. You know, pull the curtain back a little bit. You've had terrible trouble with your knee.
Yes.
Just it's given you the devil for a long time now. And 2 weeks prior to Sacred Ground Chapter 6, your other knee gives you some trouble.
Yes.
Last year, everything was set up. It was your time. It was your big moment at Sacred Ground. Everybody's wearing Kiss makeup, got a live band entrance. Blue Pants is on your team. And you're not able to go. So
no, I blew my knee out 1 week before the show in a freak accident in training. I wasn't even supposed to be walking, but there was no way I was going to miss that event. And being in my team's corner was all I could do. But this year, there was no way I was going to miss it. I think
so. You get there.
Yeah.
The movement is sitting across from you. And for anybody who doesn't know, they're one percenters in this state for sure. Those two are impressive. And when you talk about a tag team, they are a pure tag team. They're not just two guys that got thrown together. They're not just two guys that picked a name. They're a tag team in every sense of the word. How did it feel? And they're not guys that are PCW born and bred, so they're not guys that you're the most familiar with. So how did it feel having to go through that to get where you needed to go?
Well, yeah, let me touch on the movement before I talk about how it felt for me personally. They were actually, when I got back together with Devlin at the start of tag team season, they were the very first team that we faced, and they kicked the crap out of us, man. I would put them right up in there in the top three toughest tag teams I've ever faced, along with Big F and Deal and the Washington Bullets. And we all know that is no, you know, minor praise right there.
Right.
So I knew it was in front of us. Emotionally, I think this made everything worthwhile. I don't mind so much that everything else had to wait. You talk about tag teams that are put together. You know, me and Devlin, we both started as singles guys. But you know as well as anybody, I specifically wanted to work with him.
Yeah.
It wasn't the easiest sell, if you will. but it's something we both believed in. You know as well as I do. We fought tooth and nail for everything we ever got.
And the fact that it was Devlin Valak is almost more shocking than the fact it was you. You know, I was right there when you started at PCW.
Yes.
Different role than I am in now, but I was right there. And Devlin Valak came in there shortly thereafter. And, you know, Devlin was Devlin. He had matches. They weren't always the best. He certainly knew his character, and he certainly was able to perform that character spectacularly. But,
yes,
you know, wrestling-wise, he was a lot more sizzle than substance.
Agreed.
That has changed quite a bit over the last year. And you talk about a guy who, let's shoot from the hip here, who I had to depend on. And then, you know, as in a booking sense, I knew he'd be there. And I knew that as long as I was able to ask him to do things in his wheelhouse, he'd perform the shit out of them. And that's what he did. I mean, and that's one of those stories that I probably tell too much because I'm so proud of it. But everybody's not going to WrestleMania. Right?
Agreed.
But going to sacred ground, pretty good consolation prize.
It's pretty fantastic. You know, I have no disillusions of grandeur, if you will, about where my wrestling career is headed.
Yeah.
I've probably had more matches behind me than I've got in front of me at this point.
Yeah.
But physically, I may feel like hell, but emotionally, to have done that with somebody that I take a lot of pride in, what me and Devlin have done together, and to be there with him in the building where it all started, in front of the fans that helped make me in both Avondale and Porterdale, and this is no BS, man. It's the biggest honor of my career.
Yeah, it was crazy to be there and see it. I mean, I watched it happen. It was still hard to believe. I mean, just absolutely hard to believe. Is this really going on?
It's still sinking in. I know what that trophy means. I know where it's been, and we're going to do our damnedest to make sure that we live up to that legacy.
And, you know, that's another thing with you. You were sort of the last class of platinum.
You know, he doesn't talk about it a lot. I don't talk about it a lot, but I think I may have been his last student.
Yeah. Yeah. And that holds some weight. And that kind of tells you where everything is, because most of his guys have gone on and done this thing and done that thing, and that's great, and that's what they're supposed to do. But there's something to be said for the guy that keeps the home fires burning too. and that's something that I'm sure that somebody listening to this will think we're just stupid and call us marks and all those things. But like we said, we've all got a spot. We've all got a part to play. And it gets cumbersome to hear. Everybody's got an opinion on what makes you a wrestler or what makes you a person in the business, which I hate even saying. But, God, I get so tired of hearing, oh, if you're not doing this for this, and they lay out this litany of things that apparently they're doing now that means they're a wrestler. But, you know, 2 years ago when they weren't doing those things, I would wonder if that list looked the same way.
No doubt. And, I mean, let's be honest. I do work shows other than PCW not as frequently as I used to. Not putting myself over. The offers are there. I don't always take them up because this is home to me. I don't know how many matches I've got left. I don't know how long I want to keep this thing going. But when it ends, it's going to end in PCW one way or the other. The place made me. I love it. I love being there.
And, like, what made you decide, because, I mean, you were much older than most people are when you came to PCW.
True.
What the hell made you do something that crazy? To go in there with some sort of crazy half Japanese, half Ching Chong, to go in there and take the abuse to get your nose broken by Trey Williams, who is king of breaking noses, to walk into a certainly a racial demographic that it was not in your favor, but to go completely out of what I'm sure had been your element for 30 plus years at that point, why was it PCW that you chose?
Sure. So to make a long story as short as I can, I was about 28, 29 years old, getting ready to get married. And the idea of a traditional bachelor party just didn't appeal to me. You know, go look at a bunch of things that I have to pay money for and can't touch. I don't know. So I decided if I'm going to do one last crazy last stand before I get married, I always wanted to be a professional wrestler. When I was 18 years old, I chose not to go to college because I was planning to move up to Philadelphia and join ECW. Then a few months later, I see Paul Heyman on Raw, and I realize that dream is dead. So I get a job. I do what I'm supposed to do for several years. Finally decide it's time to get married. I get this idea. I'm going to bring all my friends back. I used to do the backyard wrestling thing with them. We're going to put on a real wrestling show for all of our friends and family. But I want to do it the right way. I want to get a ring. I want to get us trained. And just through asking around, through our circle of friends in Atlanta, we found Stephen Platinum. And started to get trained with him for a variety of reasons, both financial and a lot of other people getting the limber tail, if you will, and pulling out. That show didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And when I told Steve that, he's like, well, you know, I think you might have something. And if you want it, I've got a spot on the show for you. I said, hell yes. I was only supposed to wrestle one match, and now I've had maybe 200 or 300. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. You had very long pants for a long time. I was always
very
worried.
Long, ill-fitting pants. Was 225 pounds when I ordered them. Dropped about 20 pounds in training. God, what I wouldn't give for that to happen again.
Right. Just lock it down and just start over fresh again.
But it's been a long, crazy ride, and there's nowhere I would have rather it started, man.
And it's the perfect fit. I mean, nothing else would have fit any better. And then, you know, and so odd, you know, the move to Porterdale happens.
Right.
And you're in a different role. And I'll be damned if no matter what you tried to do, those people still loved you.
Which was crazy to me because in Avondale, I was like the lovable loser Mikey Whipwreck type. And then Porterdale,
yeah.
I'm with Quasi Mandisco calling them hillbillies.
Yeah. But there was something about them. I guess you get that close to Conyers and they just see through it.
I think.
I don't know. I think I went to high school with that guy.
That could be part of it. And I think it's something Mason once said to me. I think this has something to do with it. Mason told me I was his favorite wrestler. And, you know, we all know he took that bad hit on the head at Sacred Ground Chapter 3. So I wonder if that was influencing
that.
There's that
again.
And he told me that no matter what spot I'm given on the show, he can tell that I'm having fun and I'm just happy to be there. And that's the God's honest truth, man. I just love wrestling. I love being a part of it. I love that I'm able to inspire and entertain people, and I guess they could just tell that.
I remember, you know, I was gone from PCW for a little while. I wasn't there nearly as frequently as I had been accustomed to being after the Porterdale move started, but that was about the time I started doing other things in and around wrestling, so I was running around. I came back one show, and I'm like, I'll just peep back in the, you know, kick the tires, see what the old gang's up to. And you come in there and like, Johnny Danger's, what? This is so strange. This is all so weird, but at the same time, he's really over. He's really, really over. How does that happen? And then, like you said, you're just watching.
I'm as confused as you are.
There's just some connection that crowd has with you. That you just can't get around it. You just cannot get around it. And, you know, I think about our crowd a lot because they're our crowd, and you probably should think about them. But,
definitely.
You know, one of the things that our crowd and I'm going to say Peach State's crowd, NWA Atlanta's crowd, the thing that they Blue Ridge, big the fans up in Blue Ridge, people will say, oh, they're an old school crowd, they're this crowd, they're that crowd, they're an easy crowd, they're this. What I think that people aren't keying in on is what those people truly like is wrestling first, but second is they like guys that are there consistently, because
yes,
most of us aren't wrestling in the heart of the city. Most of us are traveling somewhere in and around to get to these places that always feel like they're forgotten. I grew up in a small town in northwest Alabama, and the news came out of Huntsville, and we hated Huntsville because everything was Huntsville. You know,
yeah,
the hell with them. We do stuff here, too. And I think that a lot of the crowds here, when people are trying to classify them, I think that that's the thing that they're reacting to. These guys come out here with us every couple weeks, every month, and they perform for us. And whether they're good guys or bad guys, they're our guys.
Yes.
And so it can get tough in times when you need to get them riled up, to get them riled up, because deep down they know, I hate that bastard for what he's doing to Simon Sermon, but I sure won't want him to leave here.
That's a good point. That's I've noticed that myself, and it seems like they don't necessarily boo the bad guy as much as they're just sad about what happened to the good guy, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. It's
so you don't always get the reaction you want, but there's so much goodwill there, they're going to come back.
They're going to be back. And then you know when you do get them, when you do get one of them frothing at the mouth, you know you've done your job.
Exactly.
You know you've gotten after it. But that's Georgia, man. And we're probably all a little spoiled, too. All right, you lead us off, Johnny. What do you want to talk about? I'm always taking over people's shows.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to lately?
Well, I book a little show called PCW in cahoots with some of my closest associates who will remain nameless, just because I don't want anybody else to get fussed at. I'll take the fussings. I'll work for this mad scientist who wears a green jacket. But no, man, that's that is my primary concern. And then outside of that, I get around and I get to ride in the car with Shane Marks all the time. And that's pretty good. And he lets me put on a crazy hat and come out to the ring with him, too. And that's also pretty good. And, God, it's one of those things that, as a matter of fact, it was just, I think it was like 3 years, just a couple weeks ago. And I only know that because I saw a picture of our first show together.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, there's no way that was 3 years ago. There's just no way. It couldn't have been 3 years ago. But, man, time just gets away from you so quickly. But I wouldn't have traded it for anything. But, and, you know, I love performing. Always kind of have wanted to do something. You know, I think a lot of us are just born with something that says, please look at me or I'll dry up and blow away.
Yeah.
Essentially what it is. But, and I've always loved wrestling. But, you know, I never dreamed of it. Never even really thought about it. I was just a guy that liked wrestling. And then kind of came to PCW. And I went from a guy that liked wrestling to a guy that loved PCW. And wrestling was just the thing that they happened to be really good at.
Yeah.
And even then, it was not, oh, man, I got to get into this. I got to do it. It wasn't that. It was just, it was more of, all right, these guys need somebody to go with them. They need reliable transportation. Sure, I'll do it. Why not? I was going to go to that show anyways. Why not grab a couple guys and go on? And then from that, you know, that leads into, God, you talk a lot of shit. Why are you always talking so much shit? You should probably just be a manager. Maybe. Maybe I should. I'll give it a whirl. And then the next thing you know, you're working shows with the guys that you were just giving hell to and sort of idolizing the weeks before I got a tape. And I say this a lot on the Monday show, so I'm sure people are tired of me saying it, but I'll keep saying it until I feel like he gets the credit he deserves. But one of my favorite things I've ever done in wrestling is work for Woody. Working Big Wood shows are – it's just – it's a breath of fresh air. I always learn something. But there's something to be said, and this is not a knock to anyone else, unless it's appropriate. If you feel like your feet are being stepped on, you probably should pull them out of the aisle. But there's something to be said when you walk into the locker room and you know who the boss is.
Yeah.
And you know the boss is going to take care of you, and you know the boss picked you to be there, and you know the boss is going to put you in a spot where you're going to be safe, and you're going to get your best opportunity.
Definitely.
And that's what he shows all day. That was my first big eye-opener. Like, I had done things here and there, and sure, had a good time. Shane had some good matches. We did some funny stuff. We enjoyed it. But going up there, I don't think I would be able to do the things I'm able to do now if I hadn't worked on those shows for at least a little while I did, because that showed me what the other side was, because I was not a party to the Platinum Locker Room prior to.
Right.
You know, I only heard the tales of TVs being thrown. I never saw them. I heard yelling sometimes, but we didn't know why. So I was not there for that, so I had to kind of learn my lesson some other way. And, man, just working on those shows, and it's just that thing of the camaraderie that you get from guys in this business. And, you know, it's one of those things that's sort of a pet peeve to a lot of people, where you see, again, at damn Facebook, but you see people saying, oh, we're all brothers and this thing and that thing. And, you know, some of those guys are full of horse shit.
Yeah.
But there are guys that are. And speaking of someone who is always full of horse shit, Langtime Tippy, is that you?
Oh, it's so full of horse shit, my eyes are brown. Damn you, dominant jeans. Damn you, dominant jeans. It is I, Stephen Platinum. How are you guys doing?
Hey, boss.
Shooting the shit. I forgot we were on the radio for a while.
Please tell me, so you were talking about that damn Facebook. Cue me on that before we jump into the game. Please clue me in on that.
I was about to go down a rant of I'm tired of seeing everybody talk about togetherness and brotherhood when I know a lot of those guys are full of shit. some of those guys don't care.
I think there's a thing where a lot of people, and this goes for any kind of performer, wrestler, comedian, otherwise, I think a lot of people, you know, the old joke goes like, I mean, don't you feel anything? And it's like, I'm an actor. I feel everything. I think people mean what they say while they're saying it. It's hard to deliver in practice. All the guys who are saying, like, we need to unify Georgia wrestling. That's a goal. How many people have said, we need to do a show where the boys run it? Oh, God. Where we all get together, and we drop all the bullshit, and we just give the fans what they want. Well, you know what? The fans, they don't really want that. Like, oh, you know, it never gets done effectively, because once people try, they find out. I think Charles is one of those guys. I think there's been a number of guys who are like, I'm going to be the king of Georgia wrestling, and I'm going to unify all these disparate elements. There's a reason they're disparate elements. Like, it's just different people want to do things their way, and you know, it's hard to unify folks.
And that's what led me down that path. It's just about somebody has to be the boss.
Yeah.
And if you get a bunch of bosses together, that's not going to be the play. That's not going to be how it plays out.
No.
And I've been in
those locker rooms
where you don't know who to look at. You don't know who's in charge. There's no mutual respect between you and the boss, and it just leads to a bad show.
I'm gonna put this to Johnny Danger, and then we got to get in this game show. I'm so fucking excited. You guys have no idea how excited I am for this damn game show. I mean, Johnny, you've wrestled a number of places. right?
Yes.
Matt Hankins certainly has been to a number of different promotions, but to Johnny Danger specifically, like, you've come under very different management styles in different places. And, you know, not necessarily one is better than the other or whatever, but what's an opinion of yours that you think has changed from when you first got into wrestling, sort of like starry-eyed and thinking it was going to be a certain way? What's something that you learned kind of being on both sides of things as far as like a locker room goes and leadership?
Okay. First thing that comes to mind is I probably wrestled for a little bit over a year before I went anywhere outside of PCW. I know that's really discouraged. You know, the old adage is wrestle everywhere you can, learn from as many people as you can.
Yeah.
At the time, and I still don't have the greatest opinion of my actual in-ring ability, I thought I was too bad to go work anywhere else. I was ashamed to go to another show and say, Stephen Platinum trained me. I didn't want that to reflect poorly upon you. And then Matt and Jen Sells, good friends of mine, talked me into going to work for them at PWR, and I'm suddenly in a locker room with people that I am just worlds ahead of.
Yeah.
People much shittier than yourself.
And that's not a slide on Matt, Jen, or PWR. It's, you know, outside people that we needed at the time, but it kind of put things in perspective to me that, you know, maybe I need to give myself a little bit more credit and actually get out there and learn some things. And that's how I learned the difference between a good match and a bad match, a good show and a bad show.
Yeah, I think, I mean, sometimes if you want to be an eagle, you got to fly with the shitbirds, right?
And, exactly.
You know, PCW, I think it's one of those very special environments where it really is this kind of protected in a good and bad way. I think it's very protected. I mean, the locker room was run the way that it was run, and it was, you know, loose and free, but a velvet glove with an iron fist is PCW all day, right? Where it's like, yeah, most part it's soft touch. But there's somebody who there is going to tell you when you suck. There's somebody there who's going to say, this didn't work for me. There's somebody who's going to have a vision that they expect you to implement. And, I mean, I hear about promotions all the time where the attitudes from the people that run it, and this is going to sound like a dig, it's because it is. If you're asking the boys what they want to do for your primary booking, you're in deep shit. You're in deep shit. Not because the boys are stupid, but because they're inherently selfish. Their job is to worry about themselves. So, of course, every opinion is going to end with, and then I win the title. Because in their eyes, that's what's best. It's why Jerry Lawler booked himself on top. Because he seriously thought he's the only person who can carry it. And maybe he was. And that's the case where it worked. But most of the time, if you leave it up to the boys, and the thing is, the boys want to be led. They want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. They want that. But folks, I think it might be time. We got about a little over 20 minutes. I think that's going to be just about right. Fellas, are we ready to play? First, are we ready to play Georgia Wrestling Jeopardy? And two, we got to have three contestants, so I want you guys to tell me who the contestants are before we get started.
Well, as I figured, I would be doing it because I'm the guy that does everything. That's what Hankins does. He's the Rock. And, I mean, Johnny's here, so I assume Johnny would want to play. Johnny, you're good with playing, right?
Are you just bringing me in because you need somebody to lose or what?
What the hell? Get the hell out of here, you little bastard. I don't know who that little bastard is when he's got worse knees than I do. This is Stone Cold Steve Austin talking to you, and I'm going to play damn game, and I'm going to beat you like an ex-wife.
Oh, God. Oh, we still need a third person. Hang on. Let me see.
Yeah.
There's somebody on the line. Let me see.
We
can bring them on.
Yeah, this is Jimmy Hudson dying. Y'all need a ring or something?
What?
If I can't understand who that is, it's probably Jimmy Oxendine, ring renter extraordinaire, and a wrestling legend.
I'm going to ring in on these damn questions, too. I'm going to ring in on some of these answers.
What?
I said I'm going to ring in.
So, guys, let me let you know how this is going to work. Are you all familiar with Jeopardy?
Yes.
Well, cool. I'm definitely going to, we're going to have categories. You tell me the category that you want. You tell me the dollar amount that you want. Whoever gets their voice in first gets a shot at answering. If you get it correct, you win that dollar amount, and you get to pick the next dollar amount and category that you answer a question for. And whoever's got the most money at the end of this bitch wins. It is Matt Hankins, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Jimmy Oxendine. So this ought to go well. Let me do the awkward Alex Trebek interview moment. We'll go ahead and knock that out right at the top. Talking first to Matt Hankins. Matt Hankins, it says you're a father of many, originally from Alabama.
That is correct. I'm not exactly sure how many children I have because, half black. I ain't sticking around for nothing.
Papa was a rolling stone. And
I'm going to use these winnings for rims.
Nice. And Mr. Stone Cold Steve Austin, it says that you are a multi-time former WWE and WWF champion, and you have a podcast yourself that's quite successful. Is that true?
Well, you're damn right. I got the Stone Cold Steve Austin Show on Podcast One, and actually it says here that you're some kind of ching-chong. Is that right? I didn't come here to listen to no damn ching-chong. I come here to take over Georgia Wrestling. Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan, they done run me out once. They ain't going to do it again. Matt Hankins, I'll put the 316 on your ass. And, Austin, if you get in my way, I'll rent your own damn ring and beat your ass in it.
I think you would like my wife, Stone Cold, because she's tall and she's white and she has a nice rack. And finally,
can she take a punch?
She can take a joke, apparently. And finally, we have Jimmy Oxendine, the man, the myth, the legend. Jimmy, it says here that you rent the highest quality rings in the state of Georgia. Is that true?
We do. We rent them some bitches higher than Chip Day.
Fair enough. You got to pay for quality. All right, gentlemen, we flipped a coin, even though that makes no sense whatsoever, and it was determined that Matt Hankin is going to pick the category and the dollar amount first. First of all, let me tell you the five categories. The five categories are Rampage Pro Wrestling.
What?
The Georgia Wrestling History Awards.
What?
Wrestlers in Jail. D's Nuts. And final category, Who Booked This Shit? So, Matt Hankins, please, and remember to phrase all of you. Praise everything in the form of a question. Yeah.
For 100, give me Wrestlers in Jail.
Wrestlers in Jail for 100. And again, anybody, if you think you know the answer, please speak up. Wrestlers in Jail for 100. Here is the answer. Tell us what happened. First of all,
what?
Oh, Hankins.
Nope, that is Stone Cold. You chimed in first with what? Stone Cold. Who is that?
Who is that mealy mouth little bastard nemesis?
That is correct for $100 for Stone Cold Steve Austin. Nicely done. Nicely done. Stone Cold, where are we going now?
Thank you, Mr. Chong. I'll take wrestlers in jail for $300.
Wrestlers in jail for $300. I didn't do it. No, for real. I actually didn't do it.
What?
That's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Damn it,
Stone Cold Steve Austin, who said that?
He's a good kid. He got a bum rap. Who is Brian Blaze?
Brian Blaze is absolutely correct for $300.
You're
the rattlesnake
right.
Running away with it in the early going. Where are we going next, Mr. Cold?
Well, there ain't a damn jail built that could hold me, so let's go to Who Booked That Shit for $100.
Who Booked That Shit for $100? Now, what you're going to do is you're going to name the promotion who committed these booking atrocities. So for $100, three cage matches on their biggest show of the year. Who booked that shit?
Three cage matches. I think I know.
Jimmy Oxendine.
We took a cage up at a Mad Dog. He used it 3 or 4 times. I think hell, if somebody still owed me $75.
Jimmy, I'm afraid that's not correct. Minus 100 for you. Stone Cold or Matt Hankins, do you want to buzz in?
I got nothing.
No, you got nothing. All right. The answer was PCW. It's Sacred Ground Chapter 2.
I thought it was.
Yes.
Are we going to count the Nemesis and Jay match?
Yes, we are. Damn it, yes, we are. All right, Jimmy, Stone Cold, since you were the last one to answer correctly, where are we going now?
Let's go back to jail for $200.
All right, jail for $200. Wrestlers in jail for $200. Advice to this wrestler, use a condom.
What?
Which wrestler? Stone Cold, who do we got?
He tried to put his mask on one of his little damn babies to take the fall. It's that 3-foot-tall supernatural.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Stone Cold with 600, Jimmy Oxendine with minus 100, and Matt Hankins with nothing. So, Stone Cold, where are we going next?
I'm stomping a gully in it and walking it dry. We're staying in jail for $400.
Wrestler's in jail for $400. Oh, come on. You're really going to look on my computer? What I have there isn't even illegal.
Oh.
The Matt Hankins, who's that?
Who is Rick Michaels?
Rick Michaels is correct for $400.
Yes.
We love you, Rick Michaels. We love you, Rick Michaels. Bum rap on that.
It hurt me so bad to be right.
Matt Hankins, where are we going next?
Give me wrestlers in jail to close out the category.
Oh, my gosh. Wrestlers in jail to close out the category. So, tell me, Red, you didn't do it either? The only gouty man in Shawshank.
That is my very own. The Jagged Edge.
That is the Jagged Edge for $500.
Can I actually use the money I spent to get him out of jail? Can I add that to my total?
Well, I'm going to tell you what you can get. Whoever wins, I'm going to tell you what you can get with your earnings. So keep doing what you're doing, and you might have enough to get your money back.
Oh, shit. All right. Let's go to the GWH Awards, $100.
The GWH Awards for $100.
Oh.
Since the Tag Team Stable Award began, this is the only team to win it more than once.
Austin 316.
Yes.
Says it's the damn Who Are the Washington Bullets.
That is correct for $100. The Washington Bullets, in fact, have won it three times.
Stone Cold.
Damn you, Stone Cold. Where are we going next, Stone Cold?
Damn it.
I wouldn't normally go here, but let's go to D's Nuts for one.
D's Nuts jumping all over the board. Though Chris Kanyon claims to be the first openly gay wrestler, this Georgia standout had the balls to actually be the first.
Ahem.
Ahem. Is that you, Matt Hankins?
That is me. Who is Simon?
Yes, sir. Simon Sermon is
like,
correct.
I'm just
going to
go exotic ones. Just all exotic ones.
Yes, absolutely. Matt
let's
Hankins,
let's stay with these nuts. Let's stay with these nuts.
These nuts for 200. This would-be promoter threatened to put his balls in the form of a rape into other wrestlers, constantly threatened to get it. Jimmy Oxendine, yes.
Who's that fella down there? Goddamn, what's his name? Hollywood, Mr. Hollywood.
Mr. Hollywood, Roger Davis, either one of those is correct. You're now positive 100, Jimmy. Congratulations.
Hell, that's a lot more than I ever got from his ass.
Jimmy Oxendine. Jimmy Oxendine, you are in control of the board for the first time. Where are we going?
Let's go rulebook this shit.
I can just listen to Jimmy talk all day. Would you like who booked this shit for 200?
Yeah, give him 200. Hell, I come down 50 for you.
Who booked this shit? Tommy Daniels / Pennarelli as a title holder? Who booked this shit?
I know. Hankins, no.
Matt Hankins, who is it?
Who are the 2014 Georgia Bookers of the Year, Todd Stetson, Bill Behrens?
Absolutely, yes. Or you could say the promotion, which is Anarchy. They booked Tommy as the television champion. Yeah.
Face, Stone yes. Cold. Face.
You little bastard.
Matt Hankins, where are we going next?
Let's get into a little Rampage Wrestling for whatever, 100.
Oh, no. The last virgin category. Now we're going to bust it. You guys ready? Rampage Pro Wrestling for 100. This untalented wench did RPW shows to pay for her dog grooming.
I guess I'm going to venture a guess here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who is Miss Allie?
Miss Allie is correct. Yes. Miss Allie is correct. You're still in control of the board.
Keep it going, baby. Rampage 200.
Rampage 200. Did this WWE star headline the biggest show in RPW in history? Yes, yes, yes. Jimmy.
Who is Brian Danielson?
Absolutely correct, Jimmy Ox. I'm impressed.
I call him something else right now. He married some skinny little girl up there. That bitch better not get near them heels and mess up my canvas.
Jimmy, you're starting to piss me off.
So right now the standings are Matt Hankins is leading with 1,300. Stone Cold's got 700. And Jimmy Ox, you've got 300, but you have control of the board.
We're going to stay with old Rampage.
All right, let's stay with old Rampage for 300. He was the commissioner when RPW closed up shop lifting. His name won't be easy. Is anybody going to buzz in on this one?
I have forgotten his name.
I don't know if I'm
I'll read the question. I'm going to read the question again just because it makes me laugh. He was the commissioner when RPW closed up shop lifting. His name won't be easy.
Oh, God damn it.
The answer, Ben Masters.
There
Master
it
of
is.
The iPod theft. Yes, iPod theft. Matt Hankins in control. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Jimmy Ox, my fault. You are in control of the board.
Let's go on. Wrestling awards for 500.
Oh, he's going for the big bucks. No whammies. I like your style. Georgia Wrestling History Awards for 500. What do the Ted Allen Award in 2012 and 13, the Best Live Event Award in 2011, and the Women's Award in 2010 have in common? Ooh, that's a hard one.
Ding, 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 says Hankins.
Yeah.
Is the answer that no one won them?
The answer is that nobody won them. Nobody won the Ted Allen Award in 2012 or 13 because nobody got the requisite 50% of the votes, and there was no Women's Award in 2010 or Live Event Award in 2011. Nicely done. Holy crap. I didn't think anybody would get that one.
So
Matt Hankins.
We're running a damn screw job here on Stone Cold.
You started out having to buy a Stone Cold. You got to take heat at some point.
I want to give me another bid.
Matt Hankins. Let's go back to D's Nuts for, I believe, three is on the board.
Yes, D's Nuts 300. This former booker for Great Championship Wrestling declared that the GCW title was the most prestigious title in the Southeast. What a set of balls that took. What is the name of that booker? That's a hard
nope.
one.
That's a tough one. Stone Cold?
Nothing.
Come on. Get up, Reggie Duff.
Hell no, I got nothing, son.
The answer is Taylor McKnight. Taylor
That's
McKnight.
It. He was in a boy band,
All
I
right.
think.
He's too damn ugly. still in control of you're still in control of the board, Matt Hankins. Stone Cold
well, let's
needs to make a comeback
let's
here.
D's,
let's see what happens.
Let's go D's Nuts. 400.
D's Nuts for 400.
Oh,
that is our
oh,
daily
God.
Double. Matt Hankins, the category D's Nuts, daily double. You have $1,800. How much do you want to risk?
Let's go 800, Ching Chong.
Son of a bitch. All right, for $800. This two-time winner for Performer of the Year had trunks with All-Star on the front, a.k.a. on his nuts, for one of his gimmicks. It was hot like lava.
Who is the invisible Crew Jones?
It is Crew Jones for $800. Audience clappa. Nicely done.
Oh, I'm running out. Running away with this thing.
Yes, Matt Hankins got a big lead. Stone Cold about to give you a stunner up in this piece.
The squash, Stone
Don't you
Cold.
Have on me, son. Don't you do it.
Let's go back to who booked this shit.
Who booked this shit for $300? This once prominent promotion had an internet champion. This once prominent promotion had an
Who?
Internet champion.
Who did book this shit?
The answer, UIW. I believe one Fred Yehi
oh,
was their internet champion.
Fred Yehi won it. God damn it, I did know that. Hell, I worked there during
the
that
internet.
I should have known that.
Oh, to rip off a line from Tank, if you've got an internet champion, you might be a shitbird. Not that Fred Yehi is a shitbird. He certainly is not. But that is the worst name for a title. That is the Christians Gone Wild of internet titles. I said it.
Let's stay
Matt Hankins still
this.
In control of the board.
Redeem. Let's stay
who
booked
this. Shit? Who booked this shit? who booked a tables match where the table won't fucking break?
Ooh, Matt Hankins knows.
Who Matt Hankins
Every
was
fucking
it?
Indie ever, except for PCW.
Judges? No, judges can't give that one to you, I am afraid. We need a specific promotion who booked the tables match where the fucking table didn't break for a long-ass time. Any other guesses?
I think I know.
Southern Fry. Oh, sorry, Jimmy Ox.
Bastard.
I'm sorry, Jimmy Ox. It was Southern Fried. Remember Roscoe Ray's retirement match that ended up
no,
not being a retirement
retire.
Match for very long?
He got there in the damn mafia. I've seen him last week.
That's absolutely true, yes. Stipulations, folks, they matter. Matt Hankins in control of the board. Only the really big money stuff's left up on the board. A chance for someone to make a comeback.
Let's go
Matt,
Rampage.
Where are we going?
Give me that big money
We're
at Rampage.
Big money at Rampage for 400.
Yeah.
for 400. This was the name of their ill-fated women's division. What did they call their women's division in Rampage?
Come on, Austin. I know you know this one.
Well, let me tell you something. I was down at the Broken Skull Ranch in Texas the other day, and I seen this damn rat about 7 feet goddamn long. Some bitch was drinking up all my beer. Some bitch tried to drive off my ATV. We're talking about rats, ain't we? Jimmy, don't
I'm
you dare eyeball me, you mealy mouth
cunt. I am going to veto the judges. Stone Cold, you win $400. The correct answer is the Peach Division. The Peach Division.
Oh, yeah.
But bringing up ring rats, that's a win, sir. Stone Cold Steve Austin in control of the board. Where are we going now, sir?
Are you all right with me, Mr. Chong? Hell, what do we got left?
We've got Georgia Wrestling History Awards, Who Booked This Shit, D's Nuts, and Rampage Pro Wrestling.
Let's go with the big pair of nuts right there at the bottom.
All right. He wants D's Nuts for 500.
Damn right.
This visiting wrestler's junk was so big at PCW, fans accused it of being fake. It wasn't. You would think that alone would have been a reason for him to not kill himself.
Austin.
Austin, yes.
I'm gonna break Johnny Danger's heart here and say Joey Kidman.
It was not Joey Kidman.
What?
Did not know that there would be confusion on that, but he's Stone Cold brings up a point, but I know the actual answer.
And Matt Hankins, what is the answer?
It is the Colorado Kid, Jack Masiedl.
It is the Colorado Kid, Jack Masiedl, who came in from Colorado for a couple of matches. And I think William Dabbs is still traumatized.
I guess
so,
you guys never
Chuck
saw
went up for the white guys.
Penis.
Wow.
Wow.
Matt Hankins, in control of the board. Where are we going next, Big Matt?
Let's finish these nuts.
These nuts is actually finished as a category.
Oh, we actually just finished it. All right. Let's go
to
Who Booked This
Shit.
So
we've got Rampage, Georgia Wrestling History, and Who Booked This Shit?
Yeah, Who Booked This Shit?
Who Booked This Shit? A favorite for 500. Who Booked This Shit? Why is Mike Jackson doing 4 old school rope walks in one match?
What the hell?
I think I got this.
Yes, Matt Hankins.
Who is Mike Jackson?
No, it's the promotion, please.
Who is Peach State Wrestling Alliance?
Peach State Wrestling, indeed, back in the day. Yes, you could always count on Mike Jackson to do 2 things. Sell tickets, sitting his ass at the dollar store, and doing that fucking rope walk. Yes. So we've got Rampage Pro Wrestling and still 3 different in the Georgia Wrestling History Awards.
All right, let's get into that Georgia Wrestling History.
Yes, Georgia Wrestling History Awards for 200. Best manager has been dominated by Jeff G. Bailey since 2009, except in 2011 when this guy won.
Oh, fuck.
What the hell? I'll take a shot at it.
I remember that son of a bitch's name.
Jimmy Oxendine.
Shit. Who's Charlie Cash?
Charlie Cash is absolutely correct, Mr. Oxendine. Nicely done. You are in control of the board, sir.
My damn buzzer's broken.
Some bitch still got my neck. I'm going to do another one of them awards. Who's the best ring wrestler? With me.
For 300, Kyle Matthews has won or been the co-winner of this category every single year since 2009.
Well, Austin 316 can tell you that one, son.
Yep. Yes,
I'm
sir.
I'm going to think it is, though. What is your best technical wrestler?
Absolutely correct. I'm so impressed, Mr. Stone Cold. You
Stone
moved up
Cold
to $900.
Keeps up with
a solid second place, and you are in control of the board, sir. We got Rampage for Wrestling, Georgia Wrestling History Awards. That's the two categories left.
Well, let's go ahead and finish off them Wrestling History Awards then, son.
Yes, Georgia Wrestling History Awards for 400 to close out the category. Which is the only promotion of the year who won as an NWA affiliate and also not as an NWA affiliate?
I got this.
Yes, Sankins.
Who is Anarchy?
That is correct. They were NWA Anarchy until 2011 or 12, I believe.
Yeah.
And then they were just Anarchy. Yes.
Oof.
So now, our last category, we've got Rampage Pro Wrestling for 500. Are we ready? Here we
go. Let's do it, baby.
He was the last RPW champion, and he loved you. You loved him.
No! Hell, I know him!
Yes, Jimmy Oxendine.
Shit, got the long hair. Or purple hell, Dave Garrison used to give him hell. What's his damn name? Bobby Moore.
Bobby Moore is correct. Is correct. Now we are going into Final Jeopardy. I'm going to tell you the category, and then you will say how much you want to wager. Since we're obviously not a visual medium, you'll say how much you want to wager, and then I will give you the. I will give you the correct answer, and you will provide the question. The Final Jeopardy category is shitty promoters. Shitty promoters. Stone Cold Steve Austin, you've got $900. How much would you like to wager?
Put a big 316 up there for Stone Cold. And give me a hell yeah.
Good thing I'm a ching chong. I can do that math in my head. Jimmy Oxendine, how much would you like to put up out of the 1,000 that you have?
Oh, shit, hell, I'd do 750. I told him I couldn't do it no more than that. I mean, god damn, I got to drive all the way to Alabama.
And Matt Hankins, dominating with $3,600. How much are you going to risk, sir?
Let's put up a big $1,600.
$1,600. Trying to make sure he wins for sure, you dickweed.
Oh, yeah, I want to get in there, baby. I need this. Got a lot of mouths to feed somewhere.
The Final Jeopardy category is this. This promoter knew nothing about pro wrestling when they got involved. After a few successful shows, they increasingly inserted their bad ideas and their presence all over the shows, rendering what was once a passable promotion into an abortion. Which promoter is that? Go ahead and play the music. This promoter knew nothing about pro wrestling when they got involved. After a few successful shows, they increasingly inserted their bad ideas and their presence all over their own shows, rendering a once passable product into an abortion. Oh, guys, sorry. You were probably were you having a hard time coming up with the answer?
Yeah, at least one, coming up with one answer.
Stone Cold, were you having trouble with that one?
I wish you could narrow it like your eyes.
Motherfucker. I forgot this piece of information. It is a woman. It's a woman. That should help a lot. So again, what female promoter knew nothing about pro wrestling when she got involved? After a few successful shows, she increased her bad ideas and her presence all over those shows, rendering a once passable product into an abortion.
I see what you're trying
to
do here,
son. We're starting with the lowest dollar award right now. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Who's this female promoter?
Lowest dollar? You tell Stone Cold he don't draw money? It's your ass, Eric Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff, is that your answer?
No, hell no, it ain't. Listen to what I'm saying, son. I'm going to go ahead and take a stab at this one. It's a damn guess is what it is, but she kind of reminds me of my wife, Deborah, with the blonde hair and the nice chesticles. I'm going to go with Jen Sells.
It is not Jen Sells. It is not Jen Sells.
Son of a bitch.
It is not Jen Sells at all. That brings you down to, look at this math, $584 for Stone Cold. Jimmy Oxendine, what is your answer, sir?
Who is that goddamn Rachel who ripped in there and ripped my damn canvas?
What?
God, I told her to get in there with them damn heels on. She torn something right down the middle.
So what is your answer, please, sir?
That goddamn Rachel.
It is not Rachel. It is not Rachel. That takes you down to $250, Jimmy. So right now Stone Cold is ahead of you. Let's see how Matt Hankins does. Matt Hankins, which female promoter are we talking about?
Who is that Diane bitch from GCW?
It is that Diane bitch, Diane Hughes. Holy shit. I can't believe anybody got that right. So, Matt Hankins, you are our winner with $4,600 on our first game of Georgia Wrestling Jeopardy.
That guy's the best. Top number one. Top of the world, Ma. Top of the world.
So with that $4,600, have you recouped all the money that you have lent to wrestlers?
Not even close.
Not even close?
Remotely close. I might be able to make
with
a
that
dent.
Money, could you run for mayor of Ringgold with that money?
You know what, Steve? I think
if
I was to slide in right now, I could get me a tight little bungalow right in the middle of town. Wouldn't nobody check? It's fucking Ringgold, right? They're not going to check any records. Surely I could just walk that election aisle.
Well, Matt Hankins, congratulations. Jimmy Oxendine, always a pleasure, sir, even if I can't understand what you say.
Yeah, we'll see.
And, of course, thank you, very special thank you to the rattlesnake, the bionic redneck, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Set to lose there, but I guess like I always said, don't trust anybody. I didn't understand a goddamn thing you said. Here's all three of you some bitches.
Woo!
Well, next week we're going to be back with a very special tipping point once again where I want to focus on a promotion that has been overlooked for quite a while, but I want to focus on it. I'm going to see if I can get the owner and promoter on here as well, Jeremy Vane. I want to talk about APW. Next week on the tipping point with Stone Cold Steve Austin, Jimmy Oxendine, Matt Hankins, Johnny Danger, and I'm Stephen Platinum. Thank you very much for joining us on the Tipping Point.
Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more.
I mean, as always, we all knew it would be good, right? But that good?
Stone Cold? That shit. I had no idea. Fuck, man. The good-ass fucking Stone Cold.